Hi there, it's Amy Guth, host on WGN Radio.
And I'm Rex Hupke, a terrible columnist with the Chicago Tribune.
Discourse is at an all-time high in this country, and we're very civilized, and we're thoughtfully...
Shut up, Amy!
Okay, so we're thoughtfully having conversations.
Stop it!
Shut up right now.
For
you
God's
shut up.
Sake.
I swear
that
I will go and
you.
Punch you! You! So, in a civilized way, let us take a look at what's happening in political headlines right now.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of Guth and Hupke on Politics. I don't know where to start this week. We were just having a little pre-show powwow, and it quickly turned into a therapy session. I think perhaps we could start with the May Day / Loyalty Day thing, il fiasco thing that happened. It wasn't a fiasco at all. So... May Day seemed like a little bit bigger deal this year. It's a labor holiday. It's celebrated around the world. This year in particular, there were some demonstrations that got a little bit out of hand in some parts of the world. And when I say out of hand, I don't necessarily put that blame on the protesters. Sometimes I put that right on the cops.
Mm-hmm.
But that Paris and Istanbul in particular were particularly noteworthy because the way they escalated. Here... I went to in the Avondale neighborhood Monday morning. I was at the street sign unveiling for Lucy Gonzalez Parsons, major figure in Chicago history, particularly in the labor parts of Chicago. And her husband was convicted of his role in the Haymarket stuff. So like lots of, you know, major stuff happening with those two. But she got this. It was all on Kedzie. So the street sign was unveiled and it was a, like small but mighty crowd. And then it started to rain and everybody had headed to Union Park. And then later in the day, there was a thing at Daly Center on the plaza. And that was really well attended because that was all primarily about workers and immigration there. And there was a ton of people. And I was walking around getting audio and interviewing people. And, you know, during the executive order for the travel ban and the women's march and one other that's escaping me right now.
So many marches.
And that's what I've been trying to do is go and get audio interviews from people that have been participating in them. And mostly people, I have always said, like, given... Particularly because I'm talking to young people also. Sometimes, like, if you're a teenager, I'm not going to make you give your last name on this. Like,
yeah, sure.
It's fine. I mean, there's a whole conversation there about an anonymous source, but this feels different to me, so I'm letting it go. That one in particular, I think only two people gave me a last name.
Really?
But I think there was, like, immigration stuff at stake,
Yeah, that makes sense.
So you don't want to necessarily out yourself on, you know. But I thought it was like a ton of people. Karen Lewis was there. She took to the stage. There was a lot of speakers. And... You know, there were good points made from the stage about, you know, you don't need to agree with every word being said because there's been 16 speakers all representing a different area of this. But the point is we need to stick up for each other and work together and figure this shit out. So I thought that was good. At the end of it, you know, the crowd's dispersing and I'm wandering around getting interviews from people. And suddenly there's kind of a commotion over by the street and I see a bunch of cops surrounding somebody and I see... a ginormous Trump flag, the Navy logo that he has from the campaign.
Mm-hmm.
It is a giant flag. And I look over and there's a dude in a head-to-toe American flag bodysuit. And when I say head-to-toe, I mean it went over his face.
Yeah, like, I have one of those, yeah.
Was it you? Tell me the truth.
I just sleep in it, though.
So it's like a speed skater outfit with a GIMP mask.
Yeah, nice.
All made out of one piece of fabric is what we're dealing with.
As the founders had imagined. Yes.
Exactly as the founders imagined. So that was happening. And then he had two dudes with him that just had like ski masks and scarves and shit covering their faces. And like they had different flags and all that. And they were just there to be the voice of the counter point. So that was a thing that happened. And people were walking by just going, like giving them side eye and going, if you're so proud, why are you covering your face? What are you doing?
Right.
Yeah. Is this performance art or what's happening?
That is an odd approach.
Yeah.
Also odd just to like, why bother? Like, what are you trying to accomplish here aside from just rabble rousing?
Right. It was just rabble rousing because there were representatives from unions that have put this city together and make it continue to run.
Mm-hmm.
So to show up with like the Trump campaign flag just seemed like a weird call. Like he already won, guys. Like you can just, you're good. You can go.
Yeah. And he hasn't I mean, nothing. He hasn't done anything on that front in terms of unions and stuff at this point. Anyway,
not explicitly.
Yeah, there are concerns and whatnot, but there's not a
right.
You know, not a. I mean, we certainly get the sense of whose side he's on.
Oh, shit's about to get
yeah,
real.
And
but
it is not the workers.
It has yet to get real.
But at the same time, yeah, I mean, it's not like there's some you know, this isn't a central issue at the moment. So yeah, that is kind of a odd thing. But I'm glad it was not overly crazy. That's good.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I thought about like, well, I could go get, you know, a quick interview with the counter. Go over there. Hey, person without a face.
Yeah, you don't want to be, you know, somebody in one of those Speedo type
You have
things.
Nothing to lose.
Yeah.
You know. If I can't see your face, you got nothing to lose.
Yeah,
and I can't take your picture if you begin to assault me or whatever.
Yeah.
So I'm like, meh, probably no.
Yeah. And then somebody in a full body American flag thingy like that.
Probably already has nothing to lose.
Yeah, just not your best interview, most
right.
likely.
So I'm on the train going home after this. And checking in with myself about like making rules for myself about, okay, where do I fall? Okay, if I'm okay with interviewing like a young person or someone who by virtue of giving their last name would put them in some kind of danger, okay, that's cool. But like, where do I, and I said, okay, definitely wearing a full body suit that covers your face is crossing the line. And that's too much of an anonymous source. And I can't deal with that. But where's the middle? And I was actually sitting there thinking about that in a very serious way of like, what, like, how much do you have to, like, what a, you know, goofy thing. And I was like, okay, well, what if a woman, like, what if she had head covering? Like, what if she had niqab on? Like,
yeah.
Then, but she's not anonymous. And why is that? And like, I went through this whole thing and I was like, you are really in deep thought over a dude wearing an American flag body and face suit.
Yeah.
Dude, reel it in. You know what you're doing. Stop thinking.
Yeah, that does sound like you may have gone a little further down the ethical path than you needed to.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I want a little public editor on that one.
Maybe. Yeah. Yes. Ombudsman. Maybe.
Good you know, maybe you're not the first person to call me that. Not really.
Maybe if he'd been wearing like a American flag half shirt or something like that, it would have made the decision easier.
If only I had like a, you know, American flag string bikini on or something.
Yes. Hey.
I could have worked it all out.
We were meant to talk, clearly.
What are you doing later? I noticed yeah. We dressed alike. Gross.
Want to get patriotic?
Also, a woman was like standing there looking at him doing his thing and she walked away and she muttered something like, you know, that's a tube sock down there.
Oh dear. Yeah, I had a feeling that was gonna
yeah
that
I
had
mean,
to come up at some point.
You know,
you wear one of those suits, you're not
well, but let's go down the ethical path again. Like, can we like one could say if a woman wears a low-cut shirt, she mm-hmm. then is asking, right? So there's yeah. lots of it. I'm saying the American flag face and bodysuit guy brought up a lot of ethical shit for me is what I'm saying
yes.
to you.
Remarkable. Who would have thought?
So I went home and I had a little wine and I like watched Two Broke Girls and Let It Go.
Yeah, there you go. They moved like, on.
We're going to just put this away.
I'm going to just burn that image out of my mind if at all possible.
Right. Like clearly I've thought too much about American flag face and bodysuit guy. We should name him.
And now our listeners can think about that for a while too.
If I get
enjoy.
Bear it, so do you.
Yep.
Hey, so our fearless leader said something pretty interesting about the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Shifting gears a little.
Yeah. Speaking of people wearing American flag
and waving,
onesies.
Waving Trump banners. A onesie, that's what we're going to call it. Yeah.
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 Yeah. He just not too long ago here, just before we recorded, said, frankly, I'm sorry, speaking about the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, which has been going on for some time, he said, frankly, maybe not as difficult as people have thought.
Jesus.
Oh, that, eh, what? What do you guys, what's the problem here? I don't even get it. I'll fix this.
Oh, my God.
What I love is that he's still riding his, you know, I'm brilliant deal maker. Right. I can get deals done, blah, blah, blah. When he's gotten
nothing
done in terms of any form of deal or negotiation, everything has fallen through. We're waiting on the second try at the healthcare stuff right now. But even if that goes through, that's not getting anywhere in the Senate. So, I mean, it's still early. I mean, you know, we're just past the 100-day mark. It's going to reach a point where Johnny Dealmaker here is not going to have much credibility to be able to say, oh, yeah, I'll fix this. I can fix this thing. You haven't fixed anything. You've broken things, but you haven't fixed anything.
And also, very smart people have been trying to make progress in the Israeli-Palestinian conflict for
forever.
Ever.
Exactly.
Basically forever.
I mean, honestly, it is such a... It's so...
It's extremely complicated.
I do not begin... This is not my... I've never been an expert on sort of Middle Eastern affairs in general. And on that conflict in particular, I do not have any great depth of understanding. But I think I understand the situation well enough to say that saying maybe it's not so difficult is pretty damn insulting to both sides who have been killing each other for decades and decades. So, I mean, I think that there's a... That's very flip, and they gave. I remember there was a line that Obama made during his first campaign about do the things that he would do, and something about lowering the seawater will stop rising or something, because of environmental stuff. And he got mocked relentlessly by the right for those kind of proclamations. But then again, here this guy is sitting there today and is basically being like, oh, yeah, we're going to fix this. No problem. We'll patch it right
up. No,
patch this right up. You guys will go on your way.
You like hummus. Let's do this.
Right. Exactly. Right. He's going to be like, you're both Jewish, right? No? What? Huh? Wait a minute.
You're both, what you got? That same thing that my son-in-law is, right? Yeah, you're that? Okay, let's go.
Wait, you're not both Jewish? What's the problem?
Jesus.
What? One of you Christian? I don't get it.
Oh, my God.
So it's...
There's a really, speaking of how not simple that is, there's a book, there are many books on the subject, and I feel like this is a subject that I've thought about and wrestled with, and that's been on my mind my entire life. That's just part of my identity.
Yeah.
And it's a lot more complicated than even we talk about often. I mean, a lot of times we're in this time where if you say anything critical of something, you immediately are put in a side.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a particular example where that's almost impossible. Just as here in this country, like you can't talk about the United States and it's all or nothing. You can say, I love this country, but X, Y, and Z are pretty fucked up about it.
Yeah.
Which I say probably every day. The same applies there. You have to be very, very nuanced and critical about everyone involved in the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. So there's a book that's interesting if anyone is interested in reading it. It's called, I can't think of the author's name off the top of my head, but it's called God, Allah, and the Great Land Grab. It's a pretty, you got to commit to read that, and you got to want to understand all of it. But I think that's one I've recommended to a lot of people because it just kind of breaks the whole deal down from way, way back.
Well, I'm sure Donald Trump is listening, so
and
hopefully
I'm sure
he'll pick
he's
that up.
Reading that because he seems like a big reader.
He's a
to
voracious
me.
Reader.
I bet like Plato's Five Dialogues are on his bedside table.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. He likes knowledge. He has a thirst for knowledge.
And spelling.
Yeah, and spelling. History.
Hey.
Andrew Jackson.
Oh, which I was going to say.
Yeah.
That happened this week, too. The Andrew Jackson thing. And then the weird ass-covering tweet with, I recognize he was dead 16 years before the Civil War.
But he was very angry about it.
Well.
It hadn't really quite.
Here's the thing about being dead.
Yeah.
You kind of don't have feelings as far as we know.
And also why doesn't it? I loved how he said, why doesn't anybody ask about why the war happened or something? Why did the Civil War happen? Why? What's with that?
Oh my God.
I'm the first person to ever think, why did that happen, despite these 18,000 books that have been written about why it happened?
Can we maybe not be thinking so hard about middle 1800s? Let's talk about right now, because again, sir, you've got the nuke codes, and I believe there's a few people in the world that are super pissed off at us.
The only good thing is that I think by now I'm almost 100% confident that if he did have the nuke codes, he lost them and he doesn't remember where they are. So I think we're safe on that front. Excuse me. What? The who? What codes?
He DM'd them to somebody. And he's like, wait, where did I put
Doesn't
that?
Spicer have those?
Who's got that? What's that? Well, whatever. Yeah. Yeah, that's concerning. The Andrew Jackson thing was very concerning. Because this is the best part about the internet sometimes when people respond with a lot of funny memes. There was one that a friend of mine texted to me that's like a piece of notebook paper in child's handwriting as if it's a book report on the Civil War, but it's spelled S-I-V-E-L by Donnie Trump. That's very funny.
That's awesome.
It's quite good. I mean, we didn't even jump on Dan Quayle that hard when he misspelled potato.
Yeah, right. Exactly. That seems
pre-Twitter, but
that
nonetheless.
Seems quaint at this point,
I know. But I wish our biggest problem was the VP didn't know how to fucking spell potato.
But I think, that's one of the things that is so maddening is his it's his unwillingness to ever admit that he's wrong or misinformed about something, combined with his unwillingness to just keep his mouth shut when he doesn't know something. Because that is one of the great, to me, that's one of, that is a tremendous quality to have, is if you can just.
It's not, one I aspire to have.
Yeah, right.
Haven't mastered it
says
yet.
Says the guy talking into a microphone about the Middle East conflict that he knows nothing about.
Right. Check.
Irony noted. No, but seriously, that's why I said I don't know much about that conflict, because I don't, and I'm not going to spout off about it. But I just think that's a really, especially in a president, it's a great quality to have, because when you start going down, he's constantly opening his mouth and saying things about things for which he has no understanding. Yeah. I did a column this morning about Trump whiplash, because everything keeps, like he said, he told Bloomberg earlier this week that he is considering a gas tax. And then Spicer came out a day later and said, no, he's not considering a gas tax. You know, he says all of these things, he talks about how he's complaining about the budget deal that they came up with, the spending deal that they came up with earlier this week, and that the Democrats weren't playing fair, and, you know, they just had to kind of take this bad deal, and maybe we'll have to shut down the government. And then later in the day, he's in the Rose Garden at a ceremony, and he's saying, this is what, talking about the deal, saying, this is what winning looks like. It's like, well, you just said that wasn't a, which is it? You're just talking without any.
You're just talking to hear yourself talk.
Yeah, without any regard to what was previously said, or what might happen in the future, or what might, you know, what somebody might fact check. And that's a, I mean, that's bad.
That's
for
a poor or reeking quality.
Yeah, for anybody, but for a president, it's really insane.
It's roll bad. R-U-L-L. Roll bad.
Yeah, there you go. That.
Yeah, it's all bad. It's just embarrassing. You know, I mean, I am fortunate enough to have friends elsewhere in the world, and I've, you know, traveled and met people, and I keep in touch with them, and there's a whole lot of WhatsApp messages that just say, what the fuck, what's happening today, and what does this mean, and are you serious? And I just feel like, yes, we do look as stupid as we think we do outside of the country.
Yeah. Well, you know, in a lot of, switch some of these circumstances around. I'm generalizing to a large degree here, I realize that, but take one of Trump's core supporters, which we know statistically comes from people who are not as educated, and a lot of people in more rural areas, that sort of thing. Take somebody who is, say, like an auto mechanic, a brilliant auto mechanic, wherever, and a Trump supporter. If I come along and start talking to that auto mechanic and pretending that I know anything about how to repair my car, the guy's going to think I'm an absolute jackass, and he would be correct.
He would be correct in doing so.
Right, exactly. So how come when Trump goes off talking about things he doesn't know anything about, is it suddenly okay? I mean, if that was flipped, you know, and if that mechanic was trying to correct me on how to write something, I'd be like, dude, what are you talking about? This is my job. You know, stay in your lane. I'll stay in mine. And that's what everybody needs to do, that to a degree. I mean, you know, people make mistakes, and it's fine to say, oops, I misspoke or whatever. But to sort of consistently act like you're the smartest person in the room is such a
crazy.
And I don't think it's crazy. And unfortunately, but what I'm saying is that the point is that like a percentage of the population right now is okay with that because it's coming from him.
Well, but I think he did such a good job of setting up people to fall into confirmation bias. So I think there's plenty of people that don't think he's lying, that think he's still like telling it like it is and fighting journalism and
yeah, that's true,
and sticking it to the man or whatever. Like, dude, by definition, a fascist ruler is the man. Like, yes, he. No, guys, focus. Like, it's it's very frustrating, but specifically to what you're saying, I don't think it's occurring to his core that he's full of shit and wrong. I think it's just like, there he is. Tell him like it is.
Yeah, and I think the problem with I look at this all as a long con, you know, and the problem with the long con is that by the time you realize you've been conned, it's a bit too late.
Yeah.
And you know, it's hard. Like, people, I mean, there are people with Obama, the liberals with Obama, who thought he was the second coming and wound up disappointed.
Sure.
And so, but it took them a long time to get there.
Mm-hmm.
So the Trump supporters are getting conned. There's no question about that at this point, but they aren't seeing it yet. They're not going to see it for a while, and by the time they do see it, they're already going to have, you know, lost their health care, not seen factory jobs they were promised to come back, you know, all these other things.
The factory job thing really, really just like just gets in my craw. That one really bothers me because it's, I feel like it's taking advantage in such a grotesque way.
It
like,
is.
You can't unring a bell once, like, yeah. You can't unring a bell of a technological advance. And that drives me crazy because I just feel like you're lying to, you're just so boldly lying to people in the most sinister way, and that is getting their hopes raised. I think that applies in anything, like anything from making plans you have no intention of keeping with a friend to like leading someone on like in a romantic thing or like any of that. I think raising false hope is the shittiest shit ever. And I think that is what is happening with there. That is what has happened with this whole arc about factory jobs. What a fucking crock. Factory jobs are not coming back. That's not a thing.
No, they're not. And I mean, and even if they do come back in little dribs and drabs, they're not going to stay because they're going to get, it's going to become automated out, or, you know, they'll just find another way of doing things. And so it's such a, and I agree with you completely. And in this case, it's leading people on with their livelihood.
Yeah.
When they could be spending and should be spending their time learning new skills that will actually allow them to work. Because if you just, like, say Trump drags this on for another 8 years, that's a lot of time. And if people are still kind of clinging to hope for that amount of time, and then by the end of that,
they'll
8 years.
Screwed.
Yeah, you've lost 8 years, you've lost 5, 6, whatever years that you could have been learning
getting
something new
skill.
And, you know, developing up. And it's not ideal. I'm not going to say it is. I mean, people aren't, you know, you're not likely to get back to the kind of pay that people got during the heyday of you know, manufacturing jobs and that sort of thing. But you can be doing something. You can be
right.
Surviving and getting along. And so I just think it's really sick. I agree with you. It's twisted. It's manipulative as hell, and it's manipulating people on a level that could destroy them, you know, in terms
because
it's their livelihood, you know.
Absolutely. So. I mean, that's the stuff that drives people to jump off a bridge. Like
right.
That's
yeah.
When you feel like you can't care for your family, you do drastic
true.
Things when you're desperate. That drives people to do that. And I think the reality is not only are they not coming back, but the new worker skill set is in fact one that has to be continually evolving. Mm-hmm. If you learned something about technology 5 years ago, you haven't retrained or added new skills, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, even for factory jobs now.
Anything. Yeah,
yeah. You have to keep going because there are people out there who worked in manufacturing for years who lost their jobs who could not get a job in manufacturing now because it's changed so much,
yeah.
Even in the short amount of time.
Right.
And they haven't learned anything new. So.
Yeah. I mean, smaller example, like think about the difference of like getting an oil change. If you have a relatively new car, mm-hmm. Your car gets hooked up to something and a quick scan is done of the car. It's not like they don't even... You know, they just like lift the hood for a minute to change the oil, but everything else is checked, you know, checked electronically. You don't
right.
need to necessarily, or at least having the knowledge about like being able to take a car apart and putting it back together is not as helpful anymore than it used to be. You know, you get this, like I got, like when I used to drive more, I like got into some water that did not appear obvious on the street, but
so
like,
were you in the lake?
Well, it was like a very rainy night and there was like a little dip in the road and I didn't realize it was deep water or a dip. But it shorted out my ability to open my doors or put my windows down.
Mm-hmm.
So that like, that's not just a matter of taking a pry bar and opening a door. That's an electronic thing. Right.
Yep.
So you can't just acquire a skill set. I think the new reality for all workers in all fields, you have to continue to evolve and constantly be in student mode constantly. And I think that's a very uncomfortable place for a lot of people to be in.
Yeah, exactly. And it's the same in our field. I mean, we have to, you know.
Absolutely.
Look at us here doing a podcast and whatnot on the interwebs.
on the interwebs. Well, no, but that's where, I mean, like 10 years ago, I was like, we got to learn this, figure out social media, whether we like it or not.
Yeah, same
because
here.
It's coming at us. And it's not going to go away, so let's just figure it out and keep rolling. And there were journalists who said, I can't believe you gave up your career for something called tweeting. I'm like, I didn't. I'm just bringing it in.
Yeah, yeah. No, it people, that always baffled me. And we saw it, too. I mean, I saw it in this industry, too. People that were reluctant to change, and that becomes a problem. You have to keep changing and understanding, and it, you know, it's good. You know, you become a better, smarter person for it.
Change is good, dude.
Change is good.
Right. So, yeah. So, I'm still so baffled about the Andrew Jackson thing. I can't stop thinking about that one.
And that's what's bad about that sort of thing, too, because it delay. You're right. It was crazy. That was like the number. Civil War was trending on Twitter for like a full 24 hours.
Right. And that was so funny. I was like, is that a show? Why is that happening? Right. And I'm like, oh, my God.
So, and it's bad because, you know, there are so many things going on. And I know.
And it's hard. Yeah.
I mean, I think the.
And you and I are trying to keep up with them on purpose.
Right. But I think the. When Trump started, there was, come on, people, focus. You got to focus on this one. Don't overlook this thing. And I think we're kind of past that now because we are in such a state of, we're drinking out of a fire hose, basically, yeah. You know, and it's just impossible to be on top of everything. And so it's like, you know, when the president doesn't seem to understand the Civil War, that is a legitimate story. You know, there's something to that. At the same time, there's 37 other things that he's just done that also are legitimate stories because it's further proving either his incompetence or his, you know, sort of lack of curiosity or inability to put decent people into his administration or what have you. So
Lila column A, Lila column B, yeah, Lila column C.
Exactly. So, but I'm glad people don't seem to be calling people out so much for that anymore. For a while there, like, mm-hmm, if you weren't talking about Russia,
right,
and it was... any, you know, name the other thing that he or the administration did, people were like, yeah, it's all, shut up, it's about Russia, which is, Russia is important. We're hearing that today with Comey testifying in, mm-hmm, front of the Senate Judiciary Committee and unfortunately bringing Anthony Weiner back into all this, which I just never... Did you hear that, Anthony Weiner? So according to Comey from his testimony today, Huma Abedin was sending classified emails to Anthony Weiner. And honestly, look, if there's something to be prosecuted regarding Clinton or any of her people, go ahead, go for it. Go with God. I don't...
Do you think
in terms of the, you know, most pressing issues of the moment being as how she's not president, I'm like,
right,
you know, okay, yes, she should, if a crime's, yes, go for it. But as far as my attention right now, my attention is more on the things that matter right at the moment with what's happening. So, you know, again, you kind of get this split thing with Comey testifying because he is saying, he said again, there is an active counterintelligence investigation into the Trump campaign in Russia, possible collusion. Doesn't mean anything. You know, it's not definitive. It just means that there's an ongoing investigation. But that gets kind of clouded because, oh, hey, it's Anthony Weiner, the dick guy, and we got to,
right,
do
it. How perfect that the guy named Weiner,
yeah,
ends up with that,
yes,
scandal as his legacy.
I know, and he's somehow it's just over and over, but anyway, and screw that guy. I mean, what a piece of crap he is. But
yeah,
so whatever, but you know, the Russia stuff is not going away. I mean, there's stuff happening and it keeps moving. It just keeps getting run over by but, you know, sometimes you would think it would get run over, like bad news would get run over by good news. I think that's in past presidencies, you would have that happen, you know, mm-hmm, and sometimes on purpose, like the,
sure,
they'd have bad press. So Obama, and they would do something positive and then that takes over. In this case, it's always just bad news getting run over by other crazy bad news. And, you know, there is no, the only good news was what we talked about the other week about the people that were being held in Egypt that getting released. That's like really the first thing I saw where it was like, okay, there's actual positive, something happened. But now it's all just crazy again.
Yeah. Also, there's a Google Docs phishing scam going on right now. A lot of people are getting hit with like invites to share or collaborate on a Google Doc.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is it's going to a lot of journalists are being targeted by it. So I just, two or three friends of mine just sent me something and a bunch of people were tweeting it. So I just retweeted, hey, if you're a journalist getting hit with random Google Doc invites right now, do not click forward phishing attacks to, and there's an email address at the electronic fund. I can't even talk. EFF.org is what I'm trying to say. Frontier Foundation.
What are they trying? What's the scam? Like, what are they trying to do?
Well, get access to your login. And now, if you imagine
how many
you know, source information that you have attached to your Gmail,
yeah,
and your social media accounts and all that, like to relinquish control of your Gmail would be a nightmare for most journalists.
Yeah.
So,
ugh, God.
So there's that. So
how about
nobody click on an unknown Google Doc collaboration invite?
Yeah, well, because that's like, I know Huffington Post was doing something recently with, I think it was donors from the Trump inauguration.
Mm-hmm.
where they were sort of crowdsourcing, like anybody know these people, know who they are, what they do. And so they created a Google Doc and anybody could go in it and add stuff. And it sounded like a
good idea in theory.
It was a good idea. It seemed to be relatively effective, but I can see how that would open the door to other things like this, which would be non-good.
Non-good.
Yes.
Yes. Anyway, that's sidebar to that, just because my phone was blowing up as I looked down.
Interesting. Yeah. No,
yeah. So there's that. There's that. Well, I figured we would kind of know a little more about healthcare today.
Yeah, and it's still, it sounds like they're close, and they may try to roll with it, but as of yesterday, they didn't have enough. But my understanding at the moment, like as we're talking about this right now, is that the thing that was keeping them from getting the votes they needed was the fact that they were no longer, or they were going to make the pre-existing condition protection optional.
Yeah.
And a lot of Congress people were upset about that, rightfully, because that's crazy.
Sure.
And people are
what is the upside? I don't understand the upside of, like, why would you
well, it's
not?
It's cheaper. I mean, it's cheaper for the health insurers. So the, I mean, it's all, I mean, this is a.
It's simple. I mean, I figured it was more complicated than that.
I don't. It may be, but the, right. But I know I can't, I don't want to say definitively, no, it's not. But the key thing, basically.
I give people too much credit. That's my trouble, is I give people too much credit. I was like, it can't just be money. No, it's money.
Yeah, I think the key thing is that it's a lot more expensive for insurers if they have to protect people with pre-existing. I mean, that's, you know, it weighs down their pool because you have more people who are going to get sick in your pool and you're not charging them extra because that's how it worked before. It
was but fuck that. Like, if you you're like a breast cancer survivor. Well, you just don't get to have, you don't have the right to insurance anymore.
You have the right to insurance, but it's very high.
But you don't have the choice because the food is poison, the water's poison, the air's poison, the land's poison, everything's poison, all of our shit has chemicals in it. But that's my fault. Fuck that.
Yeah, pretty much. But the, right, so the, so what I understand is that they've, to bring the more moderate Republican folks in, they've added something to the bill that would provide additional money to subsidize people who would lose their insurance or wouldn't be able to afford their insurance because of higher premiums because of a pre-existing condition. But, and so that sounds good, except that it's $8 billion, and $8 billion is like nothing.
I would say that's not going to help
anybody. Yeah, because I think the law already was provided.
But
the
like, why offer a subsidy?
Well, that's the other, right. You're just kind of, because they always talk about like, you know, incentivizing people to cut corners and stuff like that. It's like, that's almost what you're doing in that case, although not exactly. But the thing I read said that there's already $130 billion built into the bill for people who cannot afford because the premiums become too high. So you're adding $8 billion to that. That means that's a drop in the bucket. And so this is a scam, basically.
That
they're just throwing this out to try to give the moderates cover to vote on it and say, no, we have this new thing that blah, blah, blah. But it's not going to – the chances that that's going to cover people are very slim. So basically what's going to happen is that states that opt out of the pre-existing condition protection, which would probably be several because they're red states.
Yeah.
And then
– and it's about money over people.
Right. Yes. And people in those states – who have pre-existing conditions and have the your insurance has to lapse, you know, so if your insurance lapses and you have a pre-existing condition, then you come back in, you're going to come in at your
and
rates
God forbid you have some kind of condition that needs constant where you constantly have to check in with your insurance company, which is pretty common for anything, any kind of chronic illness.
Yeah. So, then your rates are going to skyrocket. And then if there's money to help you, you could get help, but there's no guarantee that there's money. As opposed to the way it is right now, which is no pre-existing condition issue, period, anywhere, boom.
Right.
And so that's such a monumental step back. And the other thing that's bad is that right now, as they're discussing all of this, this side issue with the pre-existing condition stuff is overshadowing the fact that the bill would still boot, I think, like 14 million people off Medicaid. From the Medicaid expansion during the Obamacare years. And so it's bad. And there's even, I've seen some Democrats even saying, like, you know what, let them pass this because this will not make it through the Senate anyway. And we win the House, basically, because they're saying that if they vote on this, they're going to get hung so badly over it because it's really, really terrible. And the damage that this will do to people is tremendous. And I don't get any of that. You know, you saw the Jimmy Kimmel thing, which I thought was very, I thought it was powerful. And I don't generally, I'm not a huge fan usually of like celebrities kind of being the ones that, but in his case, this has just happened. It was very raw and very human. And he made a very good point, though, about what he did that I appreciated was he took it away from himself. You know, he kind of acknowledged that, that you know, he can afford this, mm-hmm. but that he talked about the other people who have kids in the ICU, and nobody should ever have to make that decision. And that really did put this in very stark terms.
Yeah.
And you know, how do you argue? My thought when watching it was like, how on earth do you argue against that? And then, of course, you started hearing almost immediately about a bunch of Republican Congress people and some idiot pundits as well being like, screw you, Jimmy Kimmel. Like, just move to another state if you can't afford it. And I'm like, oh, my God. He was just talking about his newborn kid, you know, having heart surgery and other parents not as wealthy as him having to find ways to deal with that or make a decision over whether their kid should live or die.
Right.
And you're being callous about it. I was like, good God, what's the matter with us?
Yeah.
So the thing that he said that was flawed was he said, aren't we all on the same team? That's what Jimmy Kimmel said in that monologue. And no, we're not on the same team at all. I mean, not at all here. And it really is disgusting because this is, you know, this is about trying to get as many people in this country to a point where they will at least not go bankrupt or die because they don't have health insurance.
Right. I mean, that would be a real thing where you'd have to say, I can't afford this. I just have to go home and die. I mean, I'm not being flip about that.
Yeah.
That's literally a conversation you would have to have with yourself. Like, well, I can't afford, you know, chemotherapy or whatever life-saving thing I need or this surgery. I guess I just have to be dead.
Or it might be decided for you because the hospital or physician
wouldn't touch it.
No, you don't have insurance. We're not going to get paid for it. Sorry. And I'm not saying I like that decision coming from any kind of hospital or medical provider, but at the same time, that, you know, I mean, they can't be a charity for everyone. You know what I mean? If that's it's hard.
I mean, it must be a gutting time to be a physician, particularly in a life-saving area, because if you had to go between, I will lose my job to uphold the Hippocratic Oath right now, which you would if you started accepting everyone into your hospital that needed that care. Just saying, this wouldn't be happening if we had single payer.
Yeah, I know. And again, I think this whole, I think the outcome from this is going to be that, okay, wow, we can't get rid of Obamacare. That's impossible. And B, we need to improve it. And improving it is eventually taking us to some sort of a comprehensive coverage system. So, which again, I mean, a lot of people think that that was Obama's fault for going too small from the get-go.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that. I could see that kind of either way. But
do you know what his mistake was? Letting it be called Obamacare.
Yeah. Well, that's, I mean, honestly, I really criticize them a lot for, they screwed a lot of stuff up on that front end. And my primary argument was always like, if you've got Sarah Palin out flanking you with her death panel and you're like the greatest, one of the greatest presidential communicators in history, so to speak, so-called, you have really screwed up. I mean, this is a ridiculous messaging that you allowed yourselves to get beat there. And that's all it was. I mean, that's why.
Yeah. Because even Trump critics started calling AHCA Trump care, and it did not stick.
Yeah.
It was as if Camp Trump just pushed against it so hard, none of them would even acknowledge it, and it just fell right off like Teflon.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't even stick for a minute.
Right.
And I think there's a lesson there that, like, of course Trump's going to hate something called Obamacare.
Mm-hmm.
Of course he is. It could be the greatest thing in the world, and he wouldn't like it because it's called Obamacare.
Yeah. But I wouldn't be at all surprised if, down as this continues to just get completely bollocked up, if Trump didn't actually wind up turning and going towards something approaching single payer, because he would.
That'd be an interesting trick.
Right. Well, and you know, because, and this is the thing with him. I'm never convinced that because he's not ideologically, and this is not a compliment, but he's not ideologically hewn to anything. I mean, he's has no core. And so if this crumbles again, or if it goes through now and then crumbles in the Senate, which is likely, or God forbid if it passes and just wreaks havoc, he's going to hate the reaction. You know,
oh, yeah.
He doesn't like, Papa doesn't like losing.
Right.
So, you know, and, but the fix is either keep it and fix the problems and make it better, or just go all in to a comprehensive care system of some sort. And so, I don't know. Who knows? I mean, he could do that. That's the thing, is that, you know, we're in such a, he's such a wild card on so many different levels. I mean, he's a wild card in terms of what he's going to say next, whether it means anything, whether it doesn't. But he's a wild card politically in general, because he could up and decide, yeah, I want to do that. I don't care. And either he could get fed up with the Republicans because they're just causing him trouble, because everything they're trying to do is getting shot down and making him look bad, and be like, you know what? Screw you guys. I'm going to do this. I'm going to try to do this, and then
on my own, I'm going to go rogue here.
Well, yeah, and then he could probably pull, you know, then he gets the, actually works with the Democrats, and he could probably pull enough moderate Republicans onto his side and get something done. Again, I have no idea. I'm not speculating that that's going to happen, but I'm just saying that I know for absolute certain that one of the things that keeps Republicans like Paul Ryan up at night is not knowing for sure which way the wind is going to blow in this guy's head from day to day, and, sure, and whether he's going to stay, you know, in the conservative camp on all issues or what. So.
Well, I think it's less about him being a wild card politically. I think that's his person. I mean, that seems like such a fundamental core part of him that he just kind of is. It's not, you know, I think his core supporter would call that like shooting from the hip and talent like it is. I find it to be more along the lines of impulse control and narcissism, and just I think it's quite sinister, and I think it's quite it's a strange flaw. I mean, imagine being around a person like that, just interpersonally, like as your coworker or your spouse or something. That would be a lot mentally just to be around that, someone who is that much of a wild card.
Yeah,
and that impulsivity, to me, I equate that with immaturity, insecurity, not favorable qualities.
Yeah. Yeah. And the needle always points in the direction of whatever will make him look best or help him the most.
Yeah.
And so, and again, that's why I think there will continue to be the outside chance of him actually doing some things that you and I might look at and be like, oh, good, I'm glad you're going to do that.
Well, because you're the optimist of this show.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's not even being optimistic. It's just sort of revealing how fully narcissistic he is, because he would not be doing, so I'm not saying he would be doing anything for the greater good whatsoever.
No.
He doesn't give a crap about anybody, but so he would be doing it only for his own good
it would just be more beneficial.
Right. If he felt like, oh, okay, that's going to patch up some, if he's like, you know what, these Republicans are dragging me down, you know, I'm Trump, I got to be, you know, everybody needs to love me, and so off I go in this direction. But I don't know. I mean,
maybe. But I also think we're sort of nearing the time where we just need like an uprising. We just need to storm the Bastille here.
Well, yeah. I mean, okay. So I'm looking at.
I just got a shiver because I'm like, one day I'm going to have to answer to saying that. I just saw myself like in an interrogation room with the Gestapo.
You said something about storming the Bastille.
I was being funny. It's a joke. Damn it.
What is a Bastille?
Right. Who is this Bastille?
Yes. And where do we find him and or her?
Right. But I feel like that's, people are going to get so fed up. There's just going to like be a storm the castle, take it back.
Yeah. No, I'm not saying he's going
to.
I don't think
we know how to do that in this country as opposed to in other countries.
Yeah. Well, and the problem is that even if he did say he did take a turn towards something that is more positive in our heads anyway than other things, he'd still be doing all the other crazy lunatic stuff, including things like in his tweet the other day complaining about the funding deal that was struck in Congress, where he basically said, he's talking about the 60% threshold you need to pass something through the Senate.
Right.
And he's saying, that's ridiculous. Maybe we just, that's an archaic rule. Maybe we just need to change the rules. And it's like, okay. First of all, how are all you conservative, like constitutional purists feeling about this kind of chatter? Because, and second, no, I mean, so that's just built, you know, he has this constant turn towards amassing greater power. And that's what I think, maybe more than anything else, what we have to be really vigilant about. Because if he could do away with any barriers between him and just, you know, the country doing whatever he says, he would do that in a heartbeat. I have no doubt.
Oh, absolutely. Because he's been so frustrated. He said as much. He said he's been frustrated by started with the judge blocking the executive order travel ban.
Right.
He was outraged by that.
Yeah.
I mean, if he could remove barriers and create a straight up fascist dictatorship for himself and his children, I think he would absolutely do it.
No question. Well, look, I mean, the guy's never worked for anybody in his life.
No.
So now he's working for, I mean, you're the president. You work for the American people.
And I don't think the idea of service is even on his radar.
Yeah. Or anybody in that family for that matter. But, I think that's a big, he just can't. He doesn't understand government. He's not curious enough to really try to understand it. And he can't stand it when people don't let him do what he wants to do. That's a recipe for yikes.
Sounds like a charmer.
Yeah. It's like lots of fun.
Sorry,
at
ladies. He's not single.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Or is he? Did you see the Melania Trump tweet? Like, okay.
What?
Sorry. Let me rephrase that. So it happened yesterday that somebody noticed that Melania Trump had liked somebody's tweet that said something about him. It was making fun of him building a wall, it was something about like building a wall between him and Melania or something like that, but it was like totally mocking him and showing like that he does
it.
And she liked it, or somebody, maybe her social media, somebody liked it, and it got screen grabbed, and then of course it disappeared after like 10 minutes, but yeah,
doesn't matter, screen grabs.
I wondered if maybe that was one of her, that's her signal to us that she needs help.
It was
very subtle.
There was a sign that was at the Women's March that was very funny that said something like, Melania, blink twice and we'll come save you, or something like that.
That's about what it feels like, right?
I don't feel sorry for her. I think she is complicit in her. I do think she is in a loveless marriage, and it would be sad and shitty to have a partner like that.
Oh, blech.
Also gross.
Yeah, on so many. Yeah, on
and also the kid
level.
Looks like him. So like at least one time they had sex, which is really unfortunate for her.
Yeah.
Yikers. Also, we saw him dance at the inauguration.
Yeah.
So not only was it probably gross, it was probably not particularly good.
It was the worst 15 seconds of her life. Poor Melania.
Melania had to hit that. Oh my God!
Blah,
we just got
and
real
just like that,
weird,
and just like that, we were banned from the air.
Right, and then we could never be on any station. You'll never work in this town again, Guthrie Hopke.
And they spent the rest of their lives in prison.
No, I would do badly in prison.
Oh God, I'd be terrible. I don't like discomfort. Like I don't like. I don't even like to. I don't like to. I don't like to camp. Or you know, I don't like to camp.
I don't think prison is camping, right?
Well, no, but it'd be really uncomfortable. I feel like the sheets would be real itchy.
Sure, probably not a high thread count of sheets in prison.
I get real itchy,
and I think you want to stay away from the laundry.
Exactly,
because that's where I watched Oz.
Yes,
bad things happen in the laundry.
What a great show that was! I love that.
That was
show.
A real good show.
Yeah,
but anyway, we're not going to prison, so it doesn't matter.
Yay! Okay, good.
My Bastille comment earlier might land me a front row seat in Journo Jail.
Funtanamo.
Mm-hmm. Good times. Anyway, point being, I do think she is complicit in her role there. I think all of that, but I feel bad for her personally, but I don't feel bad for her not getting the hell out of there. And like role in the whole thing and her, you know, the way she
could have skated long ago.
She could have skated long ago. And, you know, when she goes to these appearances, you know, you could tell past first ladies would be like reading to children with joy.
Yeah.
You could, and president, I mean, when the Obamas read Where the Wild Things Are at the Easter egg roll, you could tell they were having so much fun.
Yeah, totally.
They were having a ball. When Laura Bush would go and like read to kids and do stuff, she looked like she was having a nice time. Even if she was bullshitting us, she looked like she was having a nice time.
Mm-hmm.
Good enough, right?
Yeah.
That's good enough for the photo op. Melania looks so insulted and so bored to be there. And the time she was reading, she didn't turn the book around to show the kids the pictures.
Really? I didn't do that.
And it was like proof that she had probably, no one had ever read to her.
Right.
And she probably didn't read to Barron, and you know, it was just kind of sad, but it was also, she just looked like, can I just please overdose on something? You know, like she just looked like suicidal. And so for, like as a human being, I feel bad for her.
Right. Yeah.
But as, you know, I do and I don't.
I get you. No, I agree. I think a lot of people feel that way too. And yeah, but I really don't. The thing that is interesting about right now though is I don't feel like America has a first lady.
No.
I mean, you know, not that that matters necessarily, whatever, but I mean,
it's a weird role. It's the only role that you It's the only government job where you get a staff, but you marry into it.
Right, right.
It's a weird job.
And, you know.
And wasn't it Laura Bush that said, like, don't you ever run? I think it was her that she had a story about, like, don't you, I never want to be in the spotlight. Don't you dare run for president because I never want to be first lady. I don't, I just want to teach school. I think it, I'm almost sure, oh, almost positive.
That does, yeah, that would fit.
I mean, she was like, don't you dare make me be in front of people because she had this, like, fear of public speaking and didn't want to learn how to do any of that.
But, you know, I mean, we have a, I mean, you know, throughout history, I think that, you know, the role of first lady has been significant and, you know, I mean, Hillary Clinton completely redefined it.
I think Jackie Kennedy Onassis like really made it a very different thing because it was about setting fashion trends and social things. And I mean, you're a diplomat at some point,
where, right?
You know, you're smoothing the edges of these relationships by entertaining and being this, you know, witty, full of witty conversation and all of this.
Yeah. But even, you know, I mean, the Bushes and Nancy Reagan, you know, I mean, it's not just a liberal, not like I just thought the liberal first ladies were good or whatever. I mean, you know, like it's a strong role in its own right. And
I mean, Nancy Reagan and her like anti-drug stuff, she was on straight up doing TV ads for that.
Yeah.
She was all over that.
Yeah. So it's just kind of odd because that's totally absent now. I mean, yes, she's standing with him at certain things or whatever, but I have heard nothing out of her for no like efforts, nothing whatsoever.
Well, I wrote an op-ed when she was kind of flirting with taking on online harassment.
Oh, right, right. Yeah.
And, you know, because that's my pet project. So I have a like an open letter op-ed ready to go for her that I'll be finding a home for that shortly.
Yeah.
Of just like, hey, so here's what we need. You have a position where you could make a very big difference for something that, in fact, your husband is a part of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
And also, if you hate him, here's a way to stick it to him.
Yeah.
You can help the rest of us out with online bullying.
Just say, blink three times next time you're on TV to let me know you've received this.
Right. Let me know you got my note. Well, let us know you got our note.
Indeed.
So follow us on social media and subscribe to us on all the places. We're on iTunes. You can find us on the WGN Plus app. You can find us at WGNradio.com. We both tweet out links to the show, all of those good things. Those are the places to find us, right?
Yeah, there is a Chicago Tribune home for it also.
Also that one.
Which is usually tagged at the end of my columns. I actually don't have the address right in front of me, but it's at the bottoms of my columns with a link.
I'm sure it's chicagotribune.com/awesome.
I think so.
If that redirect does not exist, it should.
Yes, awesome.
I know how to make that happen.
Point. Yeah, we're going to do that.
You can find us in all those places.
Tell your family and friends to tune in for all the fun and stuff.
I mean, I'm not going to go so far as family because, you know, you can – most of us have – like most of us are disagreeing with our relatives pretty passionately these days.
Okay, not family, just friends.
Just
like-minded
friends.
People
who also might feel that this is a weekly therapy.